Our reading today is from the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 and verses 1 to 9. Joshua chapter 1 verses 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Well, blessed morning to everyone. And welcome to Central Mountains Baptist Church. We praise the Lord for this opportunity to gather and to worship the Lord. And now at this specific time to study God's Word. So may I ask every one of you to take your Bibles and let's open it up to Joshua chapter 1. This will be the focus of our study this morning. And this is going to be a part one of a two-part sermon series. So we will tackle verses 1 through 5 today, and we will go further the next time we're here together in the morning service on this passage. So again, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. The word of God tells us, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's commit this time of study to God in prayer. Our gracious God, our loving Father, We thank you, Lord, for these words you have given to us. You have preserved it all these years because it is inspired. It is your instrument whereby you make your great work of sanctifying our lives. And it is also the gospel, the light that will take away the darkness from the eyes of those who are lost. We were there at some point, O Lord, but thank you for giving us your word. And thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for the Spirit. I pray that he will truly have a free work in our hearts today as we listen into your word. Touch us, Lord, and change us for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The book of Joshua, my dearly beloved in the Lord, opens a new section of the Old Testament. We call this section now the historical books. The specific history in the lives of God's people is the period of the rise of their nation, covering from Joshua, of course, as the book we had just read, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel. Of course, the writer's name bears the title of the book, Joshua. And commentators believe that this book was written around 1390 BC. The events which Joshua recorded in the book took place during a span of approximately 25 years. And it starts with these very words that we had just read. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake to Joshua, the son of Nun. These words provide a very important and rich backdrop of where the people of God was during this time of their history. We see three important kind of like contexts that we must know so that we may be able to understand what the message that we have here in front of us is truly about. The first we realize is the death of Moses. That's what exactly the first few words here opens up with. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. And then again, in verse number 2, it's mentioned here by God, Moses, my servant, is dead. Well, D.L. Moody said this about Moses. He spent his 40 years thinking he was somebody. Then he spent his second 40 years learning that he was nobody. He spent his third 40 years discovering what God can do with a nobody. It's very interesting, dearly beloved, that the words that describe Moses here was just these simple words, the servant and my servant. I mean, Moses was a powerful leader. He's an important character in the history of the Israelites. But we are reminded here this morning that he and we today are just truly servants of the Lord. We are no masters. He was not a master in himself. God was the master, and God is our master today. God indeed wrought many wonderful and powerful things through Moses for 40 years. But, well, the book opens up with these words. Even he himself, after serving the Lord, he had his time. He needed to go. He needed to exit the scenario. His time of serving God had come to an end. Reminder that nobody stays forever, not even Moses, the greatest leader of the Israelites. And here we are reminded Moses was just God's servant and he was not indispensable. The second kind of context that we need to understand is not only the death of Moses, but number 2, the duty of Joshua. The words here in verse number 1 continues. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. When Moses died, God commissioned Joshua to take his place. Joshua's description was as simple as Moses's. It was pretty simple. First, he was described here as the son of Nun. the son of Nun. Well, this phrase, Joshua, the son of Nun, appears 24 times in the Old Testament. Nun, Joshua's father, grew up in and lived his entire life during the enslavement of the Israelites in Egypt. So Joshua must have been born in the Egyptian slave camp for the Israelites. That's why maybe he was named Joshua, because you know what the meaning of Joshua is. The name means Jehovah is our savior, or the Lord is our savior. Actually, Joshua is the Hebrew equivalent of the name Jesus. Maybe that's why he was named like that, because they were in an enslaved camp and they're looking forward for God to save them. That's the description of Joshua first and foremost. He was just the son of Nun. But the second description of Joshua here we see is that he was Moses' assistant. Well, Moses' assistant means that he was Moses' aide. He was Moses' servant. He was like a minister, or if you'd like to use the word intern, that's the word for that. He was trained under the feet of Moses. Moses was Joshua's mentor. In other words, Joshua had always been the follower all these years. Moses had been the leader. But God, at this point in time, gave a new role to Joshua. At 90 years old, Joshua stepped forward to be God's appointed leader. What a great reminder for us that, yes, people come and people go. God leads other leaders or ministers, and he puts in new leaders, new ministers, new servants for his glory and for his honor. We might have think that today there are some people whom God led somewhere else from CMBC, and now they're serving in other churches. But now at this specific time, God has placed you in this church. And God has given you a ministry. God has given you a specific task to do. And I hope, just like Joshua, we will take it seriously and we'll grab the mantle and we'll serve the Lord faithfully. This is your time. This is my time. That's the second context. The death of Moses, the duty of Joshua, and the third is the delivery of the land. And we find it in verses 2-4. It says here, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, God tells Joshua, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. That is the command of God to Joshua to lead the people in the delivery of the land to his people. The Lord is finally delivering the land that he promised to his people. They were literally at the doorstep of the land which flows with milk and honey. The borders were set forth, and we find it here in verse number 4. From the wilderness, God says, that's the southern border. Then the Lebanon is the mountainous northern border. Then unto the great river Euphrates, that's the eastern border. And then the great sea, the Mediterranean Sea, is the western border. So God gave them a border where they would know until where the land is. Claiming the land was not an easy feat, though, dearly beloved. If you look at Numbers 33, please open your Bibles, bear with me. Numbers 33, 50-56. We will be able to read these words. Now the Lord spake to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan, across from Jericho, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Destroy all their engraved stones. Destroy all their molded images and demolish all their high places. You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it, for I have given you the land to possess. And you shall divide the land by lot as an inheritance among your families. To the larger you shall give a larger inheritance. To the smaller shall give a smaller inheritance. There everyone's inheritance shall be whatever falls to him by lot. You shall inherit the tribes of your fathers. But if you drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides. and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. Moreover, it shall be that I will do to you as I thought to do to them. So it wasn't easy, because it doesn't just mean that they're gonna have to inherit the land and to possess it. It wasn't an easy feat. They need to drive out the nations that were in that land. It involved that they willing to destroy them. The word of God tells us, destroy all their molded images and destroy all their engraved stone and demolish all their high places. These were not easy things to do. It's not as if the people there would just easily give the land to them. So as a new leader, this was a hard task for Joshua. But Joshua must lead the people in driving out the inhabitants present in the land. But you know what? This was really nothing new to Joshua. There was nothing new to his ears. This commandment to possess the land was already given by God, even in the time of Moses. Even Moses himself already admonished Joshua with the same challenge back in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 7. Look at the words. Hear the words of Moses here talking to Joshua. Let's go to Deuteronomy, please. Deuteronomy chapter 31. So what I'm saying is, this is something that Joshua had already heard many, many times. And now we realize that he heard this even from the very mouth of his mentor, Moses. Joshua, Deuteronomy 31, verse number 7. Here are the words of Moses to Joshua when he was still alive. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of Israel, "Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it." Yes, he was a new leader, but the command to possess the land was not new. So, dearly beloved, this is the three important backdrop. This is the three important contexts: the death of Moses, the duty of Joshua, the delivery of the land. And the people of God was such in a very crucial moment. Crucial moment. There's a transition happening. Well, the death of Moses happened, and there was a transition here, and then a trust to do the bidding of God. Well, dear brothers and sisters here in Central Mountains Baptist Church, I'd like to propose to all of us that we also stand at the crucial moment of our church history. Well, thankfully, there is no death of a leader, and I'm sure nobody asks for that. But we are in a transition. We are at a time where the city is opening up, and we are going to be privileged to regather again on the morning services. And we will not forget that we have been entrusted with this challenge of continually preaching the word of God and making disciples of all nations. We are just like Joshua, prepared by God for such a time as this to conquer the land right before us. It's almost tempting, dearly beloved, to spiritualize this to mean that the property we are praying for to purchase is the land. But no, we're not going to go that way. We don't do eisegesis here. We need to be faithful to the word of God and to do exegesis. I'm trying just to give us the application here this morning to us. And so let's continue to study this passage before us this morning and discover three promises of God to Joshua as he leads God's people forward. And out of these three promises, it's my desire that we draw biblical and practical applications for our lives today. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 1. The first promise of God to Joshua as he commissions Joshua is the promise of divine strength. Look at verse number 5, the first part of verse number 5. God tells Joshua, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life." That's the first promise of God to Joshua, divine strength. No man shall be able to stand before you. Those three English words, "able to stand," is just one word in Hebrew. And that word is yatsav. This means to place anything so as to stay. To place anything so as to stay. So you will be founded there and nobody can move you. So this promise of God means that God will empower Joshua so that he will always be able to stand his ground in the battle, even if he was fighting against a stronger, a bigger, or a smarter man. Joshua, in other words, God says, will always win as long as he follows God. And notice that the promise here says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. The promise here is that it's not just a certain time or a certain season, but the promise here is that Joshua, if you follow me, when you follow me, when you lead God's people into the promised land, the victory will always be yours for the rest of your life. All the days of your life. Wow, what a promise. It's a consistent victory. But we need to understand that Joshua's victories were never about him. This strength is never about his strength. It's never about his power, but it is about God giving him his power. And we believe it is through the Spirit of God. Joshua was a Spirit-filled man. And we know this in Numbers 27, verse 18. Look at Numbers 27, verse number 18. And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Joshua was a Spirit-filled man. So the strength that Joshua had was not about his strength. It's about the Spirit of God in him. This was the kind of power Joshua needed to lead 1.7 million Israelites. He was to lead them in defeating and driving out 17 people groups around the promised land. Most of these nations were more advanced in military training and equipment. But God told Joshua, no man will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. My brothers and my sisters, this morning, I'd like to remind us that that's the same exact promise that God had given us as we follow and serve the Lord Jesus Christ today. Look with me several verses in the New Testament of the same exact power. First, we go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10. Let's go there. Let's read this promise of God through the words of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10. Here the word of God tells us, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I like to emphasize the word here, strengthen. This is the Greek word stenuo. Stenuo. It means bodily vigor. To confirm in spiritual knowledge and power. And through the very words of Peter here, God promises us that he will not only perfect us or mature us, but he will establish us and strengthen us and settle us as we face the challenges ahead. Let's go to the words now of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, a very familiar passage to us. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13. The word of God tells us here in Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That word strengthens, although the same word in English is a different Greek word that Paul uses here, is the Greek word endynamuo. Endynamuo. And this word endynamuo means to empower or to increase in strength. You know, the Philippian believers were a persecuted group. But God says, I will strengthen you. And he says, you can do all things through Christ. That's the key thing there. You can do it because Christ is in you and he will increase your strength. Let's go now to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 3. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Here, the Apostle Paul reminds the Thessalonian believers that God is faithful. And in the faithfulness of God, God will establish them. And he will establish us today. The word establish there, stabilize, is the Greek word sterutzo. And this means to set fast. You're there. To turn resolutely in a certain direction. You're going to be there, but you're going to stay on your road resolutely. And dearly beloved, as we faithfully follow God in the great commission that God given to us, God will stabilize us, will establish us on where we stand faithfully to his service. And of course, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us that in our weakness, we are strong, right? Yes, we can be honest today. We are weak in ourselves. But God will show us strength in our weakness. Dearly beloved, the promise of strength and power is only through the Holy Spirit. We can never boast it in ourselves. Acts 1:8 tells us that. But we shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and we shall be witnesses unto God in the places that God will bring us. Warren Wiersbe tells us these words. It is futile for us to try to serve God without the power of the Holy Spirit. Talent, training, and experience cannot take the place of the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, as a church, we need to make sure that we follow God faithfully and dependent only on the power of the Spirit. We are commanded by God in his word, be controlled, be filled by the Spirit. God promises us strength for the challenges ahead. As we look at this property, as we look at the church building project we're going to have, as we look at the transitions, as we look at to expand the ministry that God has given to us, there is strength available for every faithful servant of God. That's the first promise, the divine promise of strength. The second is that the promise of divine presence. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 1. The promise of divine strength. Joshua chapter 1 verse 5. This time at the second part of the verse. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. God promises Joshua, the same presence I gave to Moses, I will also give to you. One author says this pledge of covenant presence is one of the greatest blessings God gives to his people and is a repetition of one of the patriarchal promises in Genesis chapter 28. Let me remind us all of this promise of God to the patriarchs. Open our Bibles there, please, to Genesis 28, verses 10 to 15. Here, God tells us that he will be with the patriarchs. Then Jacob here in this scenario tells us this very words here. The account here in Genesis chapter 28 here tells us that the Lord will truly be. I'm just going to be with the patriarchs and with his people. In verse 15. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Here God was talking to Jacob. This is a promise here given to the patriarchs. And here in the book of Joshua, God repeats and reminds Joshua of that same promise, that God will be with him. You know what? Moses, Joshua's mentor, Joshua's leader himself knew the importance of God's presence in his life and in the life of his people. He said to God at one point of their journey around the wilderness, God, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. Moses knew that divine presence is crucial. Lord, we will not go further without your presence. We need you. And we need the presence of God as well in His work today as His church. We need God to be with us. And how comforting it is to know that the same exact promise that He gave to Moses and to the patriarchs and to Joshua, He also did promise to us. And listen, God did not promise the presence of angels. God did not promise the presence of the patriarchs to be with us. God did not promise the presence of the best warriors of the past to be with us. He promised His very presence. Again, listen to those words. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And this promise is repeated in verse number 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Dearly beloved, there is no substitute for the presence of God in our lives and our ministries. One missionary also really appreciated the presence of God. He emphasizes in his life, and I'm talking about John G. Payton. He worked among the cannibals. This is a short history of his ministry. During his youth, John Payton felt called by God to serve overseas as a missionary. Before he was 12 years old, Payton says, I had given my soul to God and was resolved to aim at being a missionary of the cross or a minister of the gospel. John heard the voice of the Lord saying, go across the seas as the messenger of my love, and lo, I am with you always. And at age 32, John's heart was burdened for the people living in the South Seas because he saw that few were caring for them. He was scrutinized by many for leaving a fruitful ministry in Glasgow in the UK and moving overseas to bring the gospel to the unreached. This caused anxiety, but this drove him closer to God in prayer. However, one respected elder exclaimed, you will be eaten by cannibals. To which John responded, Mr. Dixon, you're advanced in your years now, and your own prospect is soon to be laid in the grave, there to be eaten by worms. I confess to you that if I can but live and die serving and honoring the Lord Jesus, it will make no difference to me whether I am eaten by cannibals or by worms. And in the great day of my resurrection body will rise as fair as yours in the likeness of our risen Redeemer. And so on April 2, 1858, John Payton married Mary Ann Robson, and 14 days later, they set sail together to the mission station on Anetumlu, an island near Vanuatu. During their missions ministry there among the cannibals, Mary Payton sadly though died of a sudden attack of pneumonia and was later followed by their baby boy. What a tragedy. Unaided and alone, John buried his beloved wife and their infant son with his own hands, covering their graves with beautiful white coral. That place was his most frequented spot, whereupon he prayed and claimed for God the land in which he buried his dead, with faith and hope that his labor there was not in vain. John Payton continued to be a missionary for 49 years to the cannibals in the South Sea Islands. Most of the times, he was alone on the island with the hostile natives, and his life hung in the delicate balance of constant danger. But his comfort was this when he wrote, during this crisis, I feel calm and from my soul standing erect, and with my whole weight on the promise, lo, I am with you always. Precious promise, he says, how often I adore Jesus for it and rejoice in it. Blessed be his name. Today, the impact of his life and dedication to faith in Jesus Christ can be seen in Papua New Guinea and Vanuatu. For the work ahead, dearly beloved, for our time today, we must never lose sight of the promised presence of God in our lives, in our church. Hebrews 13 verse 5 tells us that He will never leave us. He will always be with us. Yes, there will be challenges ahead. Just like Joshua and his people, they had challenges ahead of them. The first of which was the city of Jericho, a big fortified city. How will they destroy that? God was with them. And God is with us today. One caution though, before I move on to the third point. Listen, God does not promise that we will always feel His presence. It's not about the feelings though, dearly beloved. As what one pastor says, our feelings are often unreliable. And in any case, they cannot determine the truthfulness of God's promised presence. Whether we sense that He is present or not, the Lord is with us to accomplish His will. And we must trust His promise in Scripture, even when we do not particularly feel like it. The challenges ahead may make us feel that God is not there. The problems ahead may make us feel that God is so far away. The needs might make us feel that God has left us. But listen, the Word of God has given us the promise that God will never leave us. So we forge ahead, dearly beloved, together, hand in hand. We forge ahead with the ministry that God has given to us. The third promise is the promise of divine allegiance. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 1. The last portion of verse 5 tells us here, I will not leave you nor forsake you. This was God's promise of divine allegiance. The word allegiance means loyalty. It means commitment. It means faithfulness and fidelity. We often hear of the challenge for God's people to be allegiant to God, to be faithful to God, to be committed to God, to be loyal to God. But we seldom hear that God is loyal to us. Well, I tell you this morning, dearly beloved, God was loyal to Joshua. He's loyal to His people and He's loyal to us. He promises divine allegiance to us. Look at these two words. I want to emphasize the words leave or and the words forsake. The word leave and the word forsake. In the King James, the word leave there is fail. And that's the word rapha, meaning to slacken or to let go. So the word of God here, the promise is that God says, I will never let go of you. You know, this word rapha is related to the other Hebrew word, which is to mean to mend by stitching or to heal. This is where we get the name of God, Jehovah Rapha. The Lord is our healer. So God's allegiance to Joshua means that God will never let go of him, especially in the light of his weaknesses and the weaknesses of God's people. Because we know the story of the Israelites. There were many times that they were unfaithful. There were many times that they were not committed to God. There were times that they failed to be loyal to God. But God never failed in His loyalty to His people. God was constantly faithful to His people, always committed and always looking at their weaknesses and yet helping them in their weaknesses. That's the promise of God, divine allegiance. I will never leave you. But the second word is forsake. God promises also that He will not forsake Joshua. And the Greek word here is ozob. It means to loosen or to leave. The basic essence of the word forsake is that there is a change of mind from the one who promised. Thereby the word here is the act of loosening. Well, the promise of God here is that He will never change His mind towards His people. He will be faithful to His people. The people of God always change their mind, right? They always forget God, forget God's promises. They murmur and they worship other gods. But from God's point, God is always faithful and He will never forsake. He will never change His mind. In our time today, we might say if we are close to a person that we have the person's loyalty, right? I don't know if you use it here in Australia, but in the Philippines, we can use this sentence. We are tight. You know, he and him, we are tight. We are like good brothers. That means that he has my back and I have his back. You know, that's how loyal we are to each other. But we have seen many times that even that kind of loyalty becomes sour and becomes loose. Even in the scriptures, we have found that out. David was betrayed by his son, Absalom. Paul was abandoned by Demas and harmed by Alexander the coppersmith. Jesus, our Lord himself, was betrayed by Judas and abandoned by his disciples. But dearly beloved, if there's one person who will never abandon us as we look into the future, as we peer into the challenges we're going to have, it's God. God promises divine allegiance to us as he promised it to Joshua. That is our assurance today. Hebrews 13 verse 5 again resonates in our mind. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Dearly beloved, there is no other way to go than today as a church, but forward in faith, in courage, trusting the Lord for his divine strength, for his divine allegiance, and for his divine presence. Whatever is ahead of us, dearly beloved, we do not know. But may this be our prayer this morning. And this is the hymn we're going to sing. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Maybe this morning I'm also talking to some hurting people here. Maybe you're asking, is God here? Is God going to strengthen me as I go through trials and tribulations in my life? As I handle this ministry that's so big in my point of view, will God be there each step along the way? Well, dearly beloved, what sweet promises we have just started this morning. God promises his divine presence, his divine strength, and his divine allegiance. Let's pray before we sing our last hymn. Father, we thank you for your word. First to Joshua. It's good. It's such a great comfort to us, O Lord, that you commission and you use people, even in the reality of their weaknesses, to serve you. Because we know, Lord, today we are not perfect people. We have no strength of our own. And we may think that we can do the ministry with our own wisdom. We cannot. But thank you for your promises. And I pray, O Lord, that through these promises, we will have more faithful ministry. We will have a more united church. We will have a more active church. We will have a more committed church. Lord, we have this ministry we have that you have given to us. Help us to be faithful. As Moses was faithful and Joshua was faithful. And so, Lord, please plant these seeds of your word in our hearts. Let it grow. Let it bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.